Friends, we come to you with another message on God's plan for man. We have been considering the millennium, the new heavens and the new earth, and the eternal natural generations of people who will live on the earth eternally. The idea of eternal generations of natural people is a very scriptural idea, and yet for centuries now, men have been neglecting the Bible to the point of absolutely ignoring the many dozens and scores of simple passages teaching such an idea. The Bible plainly declares there will be eternal generations of natural peoples on the earth. Genesis 9:12 is one place where God said, "For perpetual generations." That is, he made a contract with Noah, with all men, and with all animals for eternal generations. In Genesis 8:22, we read, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and summer and winter, and cold and heat, and day and night shall not cease." Eternal terms are used repeatedly throughout the books of the law of Moses. God promised Abraham the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and to his seed after him in all eternity to come. God speaks of 1,000 generations in three places in the Bible. This simply means an innumerable future period of years and of generations in all eternity. Even 1,000 generations at 35 years would be 35,000 years. At 70 years, that would be 70,000 years. And so it goes. But when we get into the generations to come that will never die, then you can understand how there will be eternal generations of natural peoples. God said through Isaiah concerning the kingdom of the Messiah, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of his father David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In Isaiah 59:21, God speaks of Israel in the millennium and the coming ages this way: "The word which I have put within thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed," literally, out of the mouth of thy children and thy children's children, from henceforth even forever. Daniel 2:44 speaks of the kingdom of God on earth when it is established at the second coming of Christ, as not being left to other peoples, but the same people that enter it and become the subjects of it will continue in it forever. It shall not be left to other peoples, Daniel said. It shall stand forever. And in the 7th chapter, verse 13, also 14, all kindreds, all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. In verse 18 of the same chapter, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. In verse 27 of the same chapter, showing you how often, even in one chapter, God repeats a doctrine like this, when he said that the kingdom and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Luke 1:32 and 33, the angel promised Mary that her son would take the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Revelation 11:15 says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and they shall reign forever and ever." The last chapter in the Bible repeats the same doctrine, 22 verses 4 and 5. They, referring to the people of the future ages, They shall see his face, they shall see the face of God. His name shall be in their foreheads. They shall reign forever and ever. Now that brings us to the idea of the plan of God in a nutshell. If one can conceive of the wonderful conditions that would have been on earth today if man had not fallen, then transfer that idea to the new earth. He will have the truth of the Bible, and he will have a general understanding of the entire plan of God for man. In a nutshell, as far as the future is concerned, God makes it very clear that all peoples, all nations, all languages would continue on earth under the Messiah and would multiply and replenish the earth eternally. The fall of man does not do away with God's original purpose. It has only postponed this purpose until the final restitution of all things, as we have already pointed out to you. In other words, if man had not fallen, there would have been natural life forever. Children would have been born forever. Animals would have been born for man and utilized by man for his own good forever. There would have been no thorns and thistles or curse of any kind on the earth. No sickness, no sin, no pain, no death, no failure. All these things would never have been. Certainly every man can conceive of these wonderful conditions on the earth if man had not sinned. Now you know that if there had been no sin, there would have been no death, no penalty for sin, and no sickness and disease, and no curse of any kind. The perfect sinless conditions that we can conceive of, if sin had not entered, would have continued from Adam's day till now. And if you can get that idea from Adam's day till now, then transfer that idea over to the new earth, and you will have the right idea. Everything will continue in the new earth as would have continued if Adam and man had not sinned in the beginning. Even if man had remained true to God and had not fallen, then we would have absolute and perfect conditions this very day. The men who will not rebel with Satan at the end of the 1,000 years will continue on earth eternally as natural people. It is only the rebels at that time that will not continue in their natural bodies forever. They will be destroyed by fire coming down from God out of heaven. But the saints, spoken of in Revelation 20 as the camp of the saints, that camp is not destroyed. The people in the camp are not destroyed. They simply continue on the earth eternally in their natural bodies to carry out God's original purpose for man, just as if man had never fallen. Beside all the scriptures proving eternal generations of natural peoples, which are just as plain as they read, as we have given you a number at this particular time, and we've given you a number before. Such terms as 1,000 generations or perpetual generations are given to us many, many times in scripture. Or forever and ever, or everlasting, or eternal. Such eternal terms are mentioned time and again in the scriptures in connection with God's plan for man. So God didn't plan things for man to last just during a period of 6,000 or 7,000 years of the curse. He planned an eternal something for man. And natural man at that, not resurrected man or spiritual man, but natural man. And that's what is going to happen in all eternity to come. Natural conditions will continue on the earth. Natural life, just as if sin had never entered in the very beginning. In the Bible, there are a number of eternal covenants with natural man and with beasts. It would be impossible for these covenants to be eternal if the parties of the covenants were not eternal. And since some of the contracts were made with man and God, or between man and God, then that proves that both man and God are eternal. Since some of them are also made for animals as well as man, then that proves that the animals are going to continue eternally. Eternal lands were promised to Abraham and his natural posterity. For example, in Genesis 17, 6-8, God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his seed, and it reads this way, for an everlasting possession, for an everlasting possession. Time and time again, God refers to this in the prophets, and in fact, even in the historical books of the Old Testament, telling Israel over and over that his plan for them was eternal, and that their land would be an eternal land for them should they continue in obedience. And naturally, when God rids the earth of all rebellion and Israel is brought to repentance and all men on the earth are brought to obedience, God is not going to then do away with all men and all animals and all of his plan for man. Why work all these thousands of years to get rid of all the curse and to destroy sin and rebellion off of the earth and destroy all rebels off of the earth if God's going to annihilate everything after all that's accomplished? That'd be the most foolish thing for God to do. Rid the earth of rebellion and then destroy the earth and all things therein. That's never the idea of God. He has had in mind that the earth would be peopled by natural beings of various kinds eternally, and that they would carry out his original plan in connection with a natural, normal, earthly career and earthly conditions. The scriptures abundantly prove that David's natural seed, his throne, and his kingdom are all eternal. In fact, the Davidic covenant mentioned in the Second Samuel, the seventh chapter. Several times there, God promises David an eternal kingdom, an eternal throne, and an eternal house. God wasn't kidding David. He meant business with him when he said that. And he told Israel again in the 89th Psalm, verses 35 to 37, you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, if they cease before me, then the seed of Israel will come to an end before me forever. Repeatedly we have statements of the eternal kingdom as we have already seen. Planting and harvesting, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, these will go on eternally. Somebody, in other words, are going to plant and harvest on the earth. There is going to be cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night eternally for somebody. And who are these somebodies? Why, naturally, the people who are not rebels against God at the end of the millennium, and who are the saints whom God continues to live on the earth and continues a program with them on the earth after Satan is loosed and the rebellion is put down and all rebels destroyed off of the earth, the natural earthly peoples. So if we can just keep in mind, there are two eternal classes of people. The resurrected saints from Abel down to the beginning of the millennium, who become kings and priests to reign over the natural coming generations eternally. And then, of course, the natural peoples, the subjects of the kingdom over whom the resurrected saints will rule eternally. Many other eternal truths are mentioned in the Bible in connection with eternal natural man and eternal natural life on the earth. I could give you scores and scores of such passages. If you are interested in a program like this, or in truths like this, why don't you send and get God's plan for man? We have such a Bible course of over 1,100 pages, just crammed full of God's plan for man from eternity past to eternity future, and in fact in all eternity future. You have truths that will bless your soul and cause you to understand what you're here for and why God is dealing with man in such long suffering and in such patience as he is now doing. Just send for information. Write to us, and we will be glad to send you the information. How you can get this Bible course and other books, giving you the complete studies of God's plan for man. the most complete Bible course printed. The glorified saints will reign as kings and priests with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the natural peoples who become subjects of the kingdom, including the kingdom of Christ and of David and of the apostles and of all resurrected saints, those natural peoples continue eternally, forever and ever and perpetually as subjects of the kingdom in all eternity after the millennium, just like they are subjects of the kingdom during the millennium. God gave recognition to his intention to have a perpetual race through the tree of life when he drove man from it. In Genesis 3:24, he drove man from the garden lest he should eat of the tree of life and live forever in a natural body. So when God restores the earth to a perfect and a new and an eternal state and permits natural man to again live in a sinless state, to multiply and replenish the earth in all eternity in that new earth, then the tree of life will be restored. And according to Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible, we're told that the leaves of the tree would be for the preservation of life for the nations. What is God going to do? Just kill off all the good people when he's got them rid of all the curse? And he got all the curse removed from the earth? Just do away with the good people, the righteous people, and the natural people, and the resurrected peoples? That's no plan of God. That never was in his thought, and never will be in his thought. How foolish we have been in the church world for 1900 years in general, in ignoring these wonderful truths, and ignoring the very plan of God, which he seeks to reveal to us in 66 books and in such simple language that even children can understand what God says. We ignore these things. We try to make them spiritual. We do away with literal, actual, truthful events to come, and we substitute imagination and theory and nonsense instead. The obvious question in view of the perpetual multiplying of the race and how can the earth hold so many coming generations? Why, I could answer this two or three different ways, and either way would be all right, would solve the problem. The how of many revealed parts of God's eternal plan is not clear. We are not asked to understand how certain things will be brought about. We are simply asked to believe what is plainly written. If God said he's going to have a kingdom on the earth eternally, and natural people will continue to multiply on the earth eternally, and beasts will multiply on the earth eternally, and then God's natural program will continue eternally, then that's for us to believe, not to question, and not to live in unbelief about. The how of all of God's plan is in his own hands. Is the God who created all things and foretold eternal plans now limited in his power to bring these things to pass? Nevertheless, the how of this question of overpopulation seems to be answered in Psalm 8 and Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. In these passages, common natural man was supposed to have power and dominion over all the works of God's hands. This would include all the planets. Christ came to restore man's dominion over all things. In the 8th Psalm, for example, he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and did set him over the work of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars, which thou hast made." Natural man was to have access to the planets. And we have plenty of room for population increase out in space when we have interplanetary travel, which is going to be a normal thing in the new earth, and no doubt perhaps also in the millennium. But in the new earth, when man goes from planet to planet and rules those planets for God, now we're not talking about spiritual or resurrected man, we're talking about natural man. Astronomers tell us there are over 400 billion planets or suns out in space, rather. And each one of these 400 billion suns are suns to other planets, just like our sun is to our 9 major planets and certain satellites. If that be true, and they tell us that at least 10% of them are habitable, we don't need to worry about overpopulation then. Any more than we need to worry about overpopulation in one part of the earth when there's plenty of land to expand population into. After the restoration, it will be possible for vast multitudes of people to live on the earth. Even now in Japan, about 3/4 or 3/5 of the arable land is owned by small peasant proprietors who provide for their family on holdings of as much as an acre or sometimes even less. How much greater will the possibilities be when the ground is freed from the curse so that it will bring forth as before the curse? Possibly a few figures in connection with the area of the earth and the many people it could be possibly hold might be interesting. It is said that the total area of the earth is 196,950,000 square miles. There are now about 1,000,000 square miles of lake and river surface, not counting, of course, the area of the oceans. Granting that there will be no oceans in the new earth, let us suppose that 4,650,000 square miles will be necessary for small seas and rivers and lakes and the water system on the earth. At 2,250,000 square miles will be necessary for the site of the New Jerusalem. That will leave 190,000,000 square miles of land for man. If 1 acre were given to one person each, there would be room for 121,600,000,000 people on the earth, or about 119,000,000,000 more people than there are on the earth at the present time. It may be stated further in connection with this subject that man will not multiply on earth as fast after the restoration as before. Part of the curse was, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. When the curse is removed, naturally there will not be such increase of population. But even that, in all eternity, there would have to be some place for the coming generations. We can all understand that. Well, let's let God work out that problem, and let us begin to think that God himself is going to move his headquarters down to the planet Earth to be among men, and from this planet, God and the resurrected saints and the natural men on Earth will administer the affairs of the universe from this planet. This planet then will be the center of all the activities of God throughout all space and throughout all eternity. Now as to the new conditions in the new earth, the wonderful conditions of the millennial kingdom will be carried on in the new earth. All rebels will be confined to the lake of fire. Death, sin, sorrow, sickness, and everything that entered the world through the curse will be completely removed. God the Father himself, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven, the new Jerusalem, which is now in heaven, will come down to be among men. No wonder the Bible said, Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things and conditions that will be in the new eternal perfect state. We just have to conclude that the new heaven and the new earth will be merely the continuation of the old ones in a new state, that the wonderful and perfect eternal conditions will be the same as was in the mind of God from all eternity past. Now, then the natural man will be redeemed and brought back to the place where he was before the fall. And we have in Revelation 21:5 the statement made, Behold, I make all things new. Not new all things, but all things new. The book of Revelation unveils things that are being fulfilled and will be fulfilled even in the new eternal state. We see in the 21st and 22nd chapters, some wonderful conditions that will prevail when all things will be made new. One of the last statements in the Bible is this, it is done. Now we might ask, what is done? We might say that the sinful career of the heavens and the earth is finished. The renovation of the heavens and the earth is completed. All things made new. All rebels put down. All men men purged of all possibility of rebellion. The curse completely removed. In fact, Revelation 22:3 says, there shall be no more curse. The earth turned back to God. Rebels will be judged and confined to hell. God will be recognized again and finally and completely and eternally, the supreme ruler of the universe, as before rebellion started in the days of Lucifer and continued again in the days of Adam. God's original plans for free wills in the universe will be finally realized, and it's spoken of as an eternal plan in Ephesians 3:9-11. According to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, God's form of government and his own being will be vindicated before all free wills in the universe, and all free wills who are loosed and out of hell will understand God and understand the program and will give themselves completely, consecrate themselves completely to the same end in life that God himself has consecrated. Then God's throne and headquarters will be moved from the third heaven down to the planet Earth to be among men. And then will be brought to pass the scripture uttered by Peter himself in Acts 3:21, the restitution of all things. That doesn't mean that the devil and fallen angels and demons and wicked men will be finally redeemed. Has nothing to do with that. Simply means that everything will be restored back under God as before rebellion entered into the universe.
The subject of my short talk to you friends of this broadcast is, as usual, about the most important work of Reverend Dake's lifetime, his annotated reference Bible. This is the authorized or King James Version combined with his own side column notes. And there are more than 3,400 of these columns, counting the extra note pages. In them, there are actually 35,000 important notes and comments, over 8,000 outlines, and 2,000 illustrations. Now, you're wondering how and where all of this can be printed in a Bible that is only 1-inch bulk. So I'll answer your question before you ask it. We have arranged this publication with 4 equal-sized columns to a page, and that's how we do it. The 2 middle columns contain the King James text, and the 2 outer columns contain Mr. Dake's notes and comments. You just can't imagine how helpful this is for the preacher, the teacher, the Sunday school scholar, and in fact, just anybody who is the least bit interested in the Word of God. It's even important to those who are not interested, for there are some cases where the uninterested have become interested through this particular Bible. We had a radio announcer once who said his 15-year-old son never did care to read the good book until he saw the Dake's Annotated Reference New Testament. Then he got to reading those side column notes I've been telling you about, and they were so interesting to him that he just kept on reading. Now, friends, it seems to me that money spent on this kind of biblical help ought to be worth every penny of the price. Anything that will make a modern teenager understand and want to read God's Word. Why don't you drop around at your favorite bookstore and ask them if they have a copy of our Bible for you to look at, and a free circular which will give you the prices. If they don't have one, then tell them that the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible is sold in bookstores everywhere. And give them our address. Tell them to look for our ad in the Christian Life magazine every month. If it's inconvenient for you to stop at the bookstore, then write Dake Bible Sales Direct. The address is Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia. We'll send you a circular at once. That's Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia.